This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Can I just start the show off by saying to you first, if possible, I want to wish you a happy, happy new year. I hope you had a great Christmas. I pray that you had a great Christmas. How was your Christmas, Jeremy?
Oh, it was wonderful. My nieces, nephews, the kids were around. I loved it. It was a great time.
Yeah, we had everybody in, and it's just powerful. And it's like now it's already sliding right on in to the new year. We kicked off the best of 2016. At the beginning of December, we started off with Fathers and Daughters with Jeffrey Shears. We had Kids in Cars with Don Peabody. Last week, we had Heart of Marriage with Robert Coletti from Family Life Today. And now we're going to kick it off with Broken Boy, Broken Man. This was that time, Jeremy, when we did the live recording from the Father Matters Workshop.
And there's a lot of real talk. This is a powerful show.
Yeah, it is very powerful. And you and I had the meeting again. We were thinking about saying, okay, going into the January, it's fine. We're going to lead into January because it is so exciting when people just contacting us about these shows. Some people said, I heard that show, but it seemed like words were put in. You guys put a topic in that I didn't hear the last time.
It is, and it's kind of like that rabbit hole, and then they're like, oh, they go on SoundCloud, they see our other things, and it's been wonderful.
Powerful, but also not just the best of 2016. We want you to log on to fathermatters.org because we have some upcoming workshops. We have January 4th, 2017 is the Father Matters Job and Training Institute. January 18th, 2017 is the Mother to Mother Workshop. February 15th, we have the Fathers Mentoring Fathers. We have the Parenting Center for Fathers going on. We have the Parenting Across Cultures that's kicking off this month in January. So log on to fathermatters.org. But if we can, if you have not yet partnered with Father Matters, would you please, please, please consider becoming a Father Matters partner? The Father Matters Show is listener supported in all Father Matters programs and services, are free to the community because of your generous donation. For more information, log on to fathermatters.org and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. We need your help. There's not a lot of services and programs out there offered for fathers. I mean, do a Google search, and it's slim to none. And we can really, really, really need use your help. We need your help. But please give to your church first, your local organizations, things that you do in your cities. But if you can help us, a gift of $20, a gift of $50, a gift of $5 will help us continue on keeping the radio show going, workshops, flyers, and all the stuff that we do. So what we're getting ready to do is kick off. We're going to finish the best of 2016 going into this. And we got a few more weeks of this. But this one is powerful because, again, we was able to set up everything live. And, Jeremy, we're just going to jump right into this best of 2016, Broken Boy, Broken Man.
What we got to realize, what we said earlier today, guys, when we're watching that stuff on the screen, when we're watching pornography in the magazines, your wife, your spouse, your, whatever your situation is, she's saying he's maybe making love to my body, but he's having sex with that woman on that screen. She wants to know, who are you really thinking about and why? And then when you share before we even start recording about the molestation and then the addiction to it, how do you feel that it's affecting your relationships or have affected your relationships, pornography?
Well, it's affected my previous relationship for sure. I was with her for 10 years. First we were watching it together. Then she would watch on her own. Then I would watch it. Or then it just became like a TV, you know, just a regular thing. Now that, you know, I'm wanting to get my kids back and everything, that's a struggle with inside me. Cause I definitely, as I've said already, definitely don't want my kids going down that route or even dealing with, you know, those type of thoughts whatsoever. It wasn't easy for me at all dealing with these things, you know. Now that I'm older, 29, I can see that, you know, those things aren't, pornography is definitely not what I want my kids to be coming in touch with, most definitely not, because it changes your mind. It changes what you know that's natural in your mind, and it brings something a whole different to your whole body, your mind, your soul. It takes away what you know that's right. So right now in my life, at this point in time, I'm fighting to bring my old self back, who I was born to be. That's who I'm fighting to come back. And, you know, pornography is a chain that I will break, that, you know, and again, as I did say in group already, I do believe in God, and I know that my own self is not going to be able to do it. And the only help that I can get is by God, and by His strength, He can let those things go. Pornography, drugs, alcohol, addictions. I know He can help me with those things, because in my own flesh, I can't do it.
Anybody else want to touch on pornography? Has it affected relationships? Let me move on to alcoholism. 14 million people in the United States are alcoholics or abuse alcohol. They tell themselves they are not alcoholics because they never drink before 5 p.m. or because they make it to work every day, or dinner is always on the table on time. They know that excessive drinking can ruin lives through betrayal, broken promises, job loss, car accidents, and a host of other personal tragedies. The first time I got drunk, I was 11 years old, says Clark, of Falls Church, Virginia. I was babysitting with a girlfriend. We broke into her father's liquor cabinet, and then we had a food fight. I never had so much fun in my life. Another guy says, his name is Mark. He says, my father was an alcoholic. And Mark is age 50 in an alcoholic treatment center in Florida. He says, my dad worked hard and he drank hard, but environment plays a significant role too. When I was a kid, I used to get my dad's beers, recalls Mark. I'd get the first couple of sips on the way back from the refrigerator. So when his dad would say, hey, Mark, go get dad a beer, he opened it up, cracked the can, sip, 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 sip. Here you go, dad. And now at age 50, he's in an alcoholic treatment center. What if his dad back in the day would say, hey, Mark, go get dad a Gatorade. Sip, 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 sip. See, remember what I was saying earlier? Our kids don't do what we say. They do what we do. And that's because alcohol heads to the mind seat of emotion and pleasure, called the nucleus accumbens, which also houses gratification of hunger, thirst, and sex. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism calls alcohol the most widespread and damaging substance we have in society. People often start down the road to alcoholism in their teens or 20s, but stress later in life, a divorce in their 30s, a job loss in their 40s, the death of a loved one anytime can also push a life off course. Anyone want to touch on alcoholism and how alcoholism affected your family?
I stated earlier, like with my dad, I didn't have an opportunity to meet my grandfather, which was his dad, because he died when he was 17. So, and that was due to him, you know, alcoholism. You know, he died in a car accident. And so when I see my dad now, you know, I think a lot of the times, you know, that's his escape, you know, when he's anxious about something, when he, you know, just wants to be numb about something, I notice that's something that he goes to. And I think that just being in a position where, you know, he might even ask my son to go grab a beer, you know, and it's now it's a thing where it's like, you know, I'm hearing about that article kind of makes me want to kind of be like, you know, now I know that I don't want to continue that tradition or that way of thinking because what it could lead to. Me personally, I'm one of those people, I don't think I necessarily have a drinking problem. But I have noticed that it's something that I use to relate or to just have quality time, bonding time with my dad. And a lot of the things, it's almost been like a truth serum in a sense, you know, with my dad. Just even recently, him sharing a lot of stuff about the past, you know, and a lot of things that, like, the man that I thought my dad was, and like realizing the truth, you know, about what he's really saying, almost kind of, in some cases, when I start thinking about relationships, it almost seems impossible, because I almost feel like, man, if my dad, who I thought was this person all these years, can tell me he's not, or he couldn't, and that he used alcohol as a way of coping or dealing with it, then, you know, what's my chances of being successful or being able to, you know, overcome a lot of these obstacles or be successful in relationships, you know?
That's real. So, anybody else?
Well, just like, you know, he was saying, I don't think I have a bad habit. I mean, I do make some bad decisions at times to get behind the wheel, you know, after a few drinks. There was one incident one time where, you know, thankfully nothing happened. It was me and my kid's mom had left each other for the second time. And, you know, I went out after work, got drunk, and, you know, she lived out in Buckeye. On my way home, I'm falling asleep on the highway. And it's like they say, you know, accidents usually happen, you know, a few miles away from the house. I fell asleep, you know, I went off the street, and thankfully I woke up, you know, because my truck was shaking. I was hitting these big-ass boulders. I opened my eyes, got back on the road, made it home, and I started crying, you know, and she came out. But, you know, that was the only incident I did have, you know, involving alcohol. Growing up, my dad was always, you know, to this day he drinks pretty much. He told me stories about him back in the days, but, you know, back in the days, he's like, the cops will pull you over, you can call a ride, they'll take your vehicle. He's like, but nowadays you're probably getting paid no less than $10,000 for, you know, your whole court and, you know, your whole system that you have to put in the car, your breathalyzer and all that. So, but I believe I can be a better, you know, a better father at times, you know, drinking around my kids. But, I mean, like I said, I don't think I abuse it. But I do see, I mean, kids are seeing what I do, you know what I mean? The good thing is that when they are around me, there's really never any beer or any kind of alcohol in the fridge or for them, or they're, you know, accessible for them. So, but that's all I have for them.
Well, my grandma, she was an old school, you know, drinker, drink through the straw, Coronas, 32s, 40s. Now they're 32s, but then they're 40s. Kids don't listen. No, just kidding. no, but so she would drink through the straw. Eventually, as I got older, I started drinking myself. With me being so angry that I was, because I was a very, very angry individual, taking what happened in my past due to my older brother towards me. Very angry, never knew where it was from, but I was also drinking. Drinking made me almost on an everyday basis. I'll just give you this example. The woman I was with would call me the devil because she was afraid of me. I mean, when I would drink, I would get just heavily upset. It could take the simplest things, and I would punch holes. I would, because I never wanted to hurt her, but I always wanted to hurt something when I drank. But to this day, I don't drink anymore. I stopped drinking in actually 2004 because I started to see like how it really affected me and what I was really doing. Like, literally, I lost my family, I lost her, you know, because of those actions and, you know, other actions also. But alcohol, I know, is not for me whatsoever.
Anybody else?
Yeah. For me, I grew up, my family was, they took care of us real good. And then all these years, I realized when I was growing older, I was so curious in life. So I went and I went and just hung out with the other groups of kids and experimented all the drinking and the alcohol and stuff and the drugs. And then I put it away for a while. And then when I was graduating my high school year, we had our own place and everything. And, man, we were finishing like 30, the 40s of cases like nothing. Like probably like four of my friends and my brothers. And then I heavily started drinking before I even turned 21. I realized I had a problem. I was passing out. I was blacking out every minute, just taking a sip. And I wasn't going to work for any reason. And then all these years, I realized, I kept trying to think, why am I like that? If I was brought up in a good family, my mom and dad don't drink or nothing like that. Then I realized my mother's father was a drinker, and it took him a while to get away from that. And so he's a recovering alcoholic. And then on my dad's side of family, all his siblings and everyone on that side, they're all alcoholics. But both of them came together, and they don't drink to this day, or when we're being raised by them. So I guess it still goes through the genes no matter what. And to this day, I'm probably the only one in my family that went for that life. And it was really hard to realize that. And I guess it still goes through the genes no matter what. And even though the two parents don't do it, it's still, like you were saying that one time, that you were brought up in a good family, but for some reason you want to have freedom. So now I realize that. So thank you.
Has alcohol affected anyone else in their family or relationships?
Just from whatever everybody else is saying, it became the only reason why I got into it is because my dad's a drummer. He worked at a fencing factory throughout the day. There's one of those examples where he's, putting, a check on the table, but nobody's home. But, he drank because he's been drumming since he was, 15 years old. And in some of these clubs down here, his band members would have to make him drink because otherwise whoever's owning the bar wouldn't, so that way they wouldn't question him. So he was, constantly drinking. It was just something, out of habit. And then, as you grow up and you hear him joke around about all these stories and, you hear mom talk about how, him stumbling home and things like that. I played basketball and sports and all throughout junior high and high school, and he did music. We were had nothing really in common until I became of age to drink and then, share those stories. But it was never really discouraged until, I became a father. He's a grandfather now, so now he's starting to slow down. And now I've noticed, I've noticed that too. These family functions, I'm just I come over with a six-pack of beer thinking, you're going to help me with this, and it's not the case anymore. But unfortunately, I've developed a habit now that it's hard to, it's really hard to shake. I'm a drink a day, a drink or two a day person, 7 days a week. And it's hard, like you said, when you don't get in trouble, and I don't have any DUIs, and I've never been fired, and I go to work every day, and everything's good, it's hard to shake that. But, now when you become a father, and, it's just out, and people are starting to look, and your kids are starting to look and see that, then I'm thinking, I'm just recreating I'm just recreating the same situation my dad did. And, the scary thing is that my firstborn is a little girl, and she's incredible. And I'm finding out she's incredibly bright, and it's just there's not a whole lot of support to kick this habit. I don't have a reason to, like I said, I haven't been in trouble yet. So it's extremely, extremely, difficult to figure all this stuff out.
And then they have a name for that. They call it a functional alcoholic. Let me go to abuse. Physical, mental, and verbal. Listen to this, fellas. Domestic violence can range from a look to a gunshot. So no, not like back in the 70s. It wasn't domestic violence until someone had a black eye. Domestic violence today can range from a look to a gunshot. And here are some on the physical abuse. Beating, biting, choking, grabbing, hitting, kicking, pinching, pulling hair, punching, pushing, restraining, scratching, shaking, shoving, slapping, excessive tickling, twisting arms, using weapons, spanking, smothering, and tripping. Here are forms of abuse under mental abuse. Put-downs, name-calling, mind games, extreme controlling behaviors, conditional affection, loss of identity. And here are forms of abuse under verbal abuse. Threats to end relationships, threats to do harm emotionally or physically, threats to life, to take the children, to commit suicide, to report to the authorities, forcing the abused to break the law. And here are more forms of abuse: economic abuse, property violence, silence and isolation, spiritual abuse, stalking, power, and humiliation. Has domestic violence affected anybody in this room?
Growing up, you know, just going back to the whole alcoholism, seeing, you know, my father, the abuse my father was doing to my mother, you know, only made me realize, you know, seeing that affected me, getting them off my mother. I always told myself I would never put my hands on a woman. Thank God to this day I haven't. I don't ever think I would. As you mentioned, you know, back in the 70s, you know, abuse, physical abuse with somebody having a black eye. In my past relationship with my kid's mom, there was a lot of abuse, you know, on both sides. On my end, I guess from being, you know, depressed, sad, from her walking out the house with the kids, basically to me, I seen it like her taking the kids away from me just because we're arguing. You know, I felt like she had no right. It all came down to all that, you know, I explained earlier that it, the whole suicidal situation, it all occurred for the same reason. You know, I was depressed, I was sad, I felt like everything was ending. So I can physically, and you know, say that I had a lot to do with it, you know, abuse wise because I mean, at the time I didn't know what was considered, you know, abuse mentally, verbally. With that being said, I learned from that situation. I learned a lot. It opened my eyes, you know, just going back to it, you know, it don't hurt. You know, it don't hurt to talk about it. I was scared to tell anybody. I mean, there's only like two people that knew about my whole situation. I can honestly open up, you know, and talk about it and tell everybody what happened, only because I'm that much of a better man, you could put it. But I know now it's affected me, you know, with my whole court situation. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not the only one that's been through it, going through it verbally, physically, you know, it was a big impact. It was something I held in my heart for a long time, closed. You know, I never let it out. It was something that was killing me. It was why, you know, I drank. It was why I was always angry, you know, and I'll get so frustrated. So I can say, you know, from that, you know, my learning experience and me being a better man has been a great thing.
Well, again, I've definitely had some abuse. It started when I was younger. My brother and his dad, because I don't know my real dad, what I used to call is touch walls. Every wall in the house touched because of them physically fighting. And I would be in my mom's room or my parents' room comforting my mom, you know, telling her that I'll never be like my brother, this, that, and the other. But as I got older and then the drinking, I started drinking, that just, it really made me upset. I had a lot of anger.
Broken boy, broken man. Hey, fellas, if you're dealing or struggling with any of these issues, why not make a New Year's resolution for 2017 to get some help, man? It's okay to get counseling. It's okay to get plugged into a support group. It's okay. Contact Father Matters. Let's talk this stuff out, man, because we still do have a lot of grown men still dealing with little boy issues. That was Broken Boy, Broken Man. We're going to continue next week with the best of 2016. So thank you for tuning into the Father Matters show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. And look, see you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you and God bless.